So I want to ask you all a question. How did you get to church this morning? Don't all answer at once, just a couple people. Who raise your hand. How did you get to church this morning? How did you get to church?
We used the car.
You used the car? Well, did you drive it?
No, my dad did.
Oh, your dad. So your dad got you to church. How about anybody else? Kaylee? Your dad? Anybody else have somebody besides their mom or dad drive them? You drove a car? You drove in a car. Your sister drove you to church this morning, huh? Oh, she drove. Okay. Well, I imagine that most of you probably came with your parents or your sister or maybe your grandparents, right? And do you know that why they took you to church this morning? Why do you think they took you to church this morning? You can learn about God. That's true. Very true. But why would they want you to learn about God? That's the answer I'm looking for. Because Jesus loves you. And guess what? Your parents and your sisters and your aunts and your uncles and your grandparents, guess what? They love you too. And so they want you to know how much Jesus loves you. I think someone cared enough about you to bring you to church this morning, and that's why they brought you. Do you know that Jesus loves children? I'm going to speak about that later today. But you know, Jesus, there was a time when Jesus, when people were bringing the children, just like your parents brought you to church today, back when Jesus was walking on this earth, people started to bring their children to him so he can touch them and bless them. Now, do you know the disciples? You know who the disciples were, or the apostles? Or they were like, who? They were like the adults. Yeah, the adults that were following Jesus, they were sort of annoyed or upset that the people were bringing the children to see Jesus. And they, because they thought that the children were interrupting Jesus. See, Jesus was there teaching all the adults about things. They were talking, Jesus was talking to the adults about marriage. You guys are not married, right? No. Jesus was talking to the adults about marriage, and the people started bringing all the children up to Jesus. And the disciples said, get away, get the children away. You're interrupting Jesus. And do you know what Jesus said? He said, let the little children come to me and do not stop them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such of these little ones. Then Jesus took all the children in his arms and he blessed them. I think Jesus told the adults, let the children come. What do you think? If Jesus walked into these doors right here, let's just pretend that Jesus, because Jesus is here with us right now, but if he was like in the person, and he walked in through the doors right now, who do you think is the first person he would come up and talk to? He may say hello. He may say, hey, Mike. Hey, you. Hey, you. But who do you think he was? He'd probably come to, I can't say for sure, but based on what I'm reading here, I think he would probably come and talk to all of you before any of us. He would probably say hello to us, and we would probably be like, oh, it's Jesus, you know, but he's going to come and say hello to all of you. So let's all hope, I hope that you'll all remember, all of you, that Jesus loves you so much. He loves you so much that he wants to bless each one of you. And so as you leave here today, thank your parents, thank your sisters, thank your aunts or uncles or grandparents, whoever brought you to church. Thank them for bringing you today. Thank them every day. And most importantly, thank Jesus for loving you, because he loves you more than anything. All right? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for sending us Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for loving all our children. We thank you that you love us so much that you died for us. And then you rose again so you can give us a new life. And I pray a blessing, Lord, on each one of these children here today. We know, Lord, that this is your will to bless these children. So I ask you, Lord, to bless each one of them and bless them throughout the week. Keep them protected as they get ready to start school, and just that they know that you are always with them. We pray, praise you, Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You guys can grab a bag. Suckers. They're going to be wild in the seats today. I sort of want a sucker too, but I don't think I could speak with one in my mouth. Well, thank you everyone for being patient as the kids were up here. I think it's important that they, as I said earlier, that they know that they're just not hearing about God downstairs, but they're hearing about God up here. And it's very important for these kids to do that. And as I said, we're going to keep doing that at least once a month. We'll be doing those children's messages. Usually my wife does, though. She's really good at that stuff. So I try to take pointers from her as much as I can. But good morning. And speaking of children, I want to ask you all a question this morning. To think about the earliest memory you had when you first believed that there is a God. Now, for some people here, I realize that some people have been first taught or told about God when they were an adult, and that's fine, that's great. Just praise God that someone actually taught you or told you about God as an adult. But I want for those here today to think about your earliest memory. Maybe, you know, hopefully if you were a child, if someone taught you about God. You know, I could remember my earliest memory from when I first knew about God, and I still remember it to this day. I was around 4 or 5 years old, and the reason I know this, it was because it was the first time that my mom and dad left to go on a vacation together. Now, my little brother and I, they were like, they had to get away, and I was just telling Kai earlier, I had three older sisters, so that was really fun. I had three teenage older sisters when I was little. But for some reason, my parents didn't trust them to leave us two boys alone with them for 2 weeks. So anyway, they brought my grandparents over. And I could remember that I was around 4 or 5 because I can look back at old photos and see the dates, like my parents' vacation. I can see the date that they went. And I, you know, I can do the math. And I was about 4 or 5 years old at that time. Anyway, I clearly remember the day my parents left for their vacation without us kids. And my grandma and my grandpa came over to watch us, my brother and I, and of course my teenage brothers and sisters, they were off doing their thing, I don't know. But I remember feeling sad that my mom and dad were gone and scared that they were going to be gone for so long. But I also remember that day being comforted by my grandmother. And so that day, my grandma, I just remember it clear as day, my grandmother taking me for a walk that day. And I was holding her hand, and I told my grandma how much I missed my mom and dad. Now, they were only gone for an hour so far, so that was, but I told her how much I missed them. And now my grandma, being the way she was, she just sort of nodded, and we continued on our walk. And then I looked up into the sky, and I saw an airplane flying high above. And I said, "Grandma, is that mom and dad's airplane?" And she's like, "Why would you think that's your mom and dad's airplane?" I said, "Because, well, mom and dad said they were going to go on an airplane." Now, I never, being that age, I never saw an airplane up close. I was never in one, so I figured that had to be theirs. And anyway, as I was seeing that airplane fly high above, I looked at my grandma and pointed up at that airplane, and I said, "Are they going to see God?" And my grandma looked down and says, "Why would you say that?" "I sure hope not." And I replied, "Well, because Grandma, Mom told me that God lived in the clouds." I don't know. I have that memory still stuck in my head that God lived up in the clouds. And I said, "Grandma, if God is in the clouds and Mom and Dad are in an airplane, then they will see God, right?" Now my grandma just sort of chuckled and she told me, "I don't think your Mom and Dad are going to see God in the clouds." My grandma was pretty stoic about things. She was pretty matter of fact about things. "I don't think they're going to see God." Now in my 5-year-old mind, I was probably already off asking a bunch of other random questions, but for some reason that question stuck with me all these years. And I also remember the day my mom and dad came home from their vacation. And I remember clearly running up to them as they came in through the door, and I ran into my mom's arms and I said, "Did you see God?" And she, of course, had this confused look on her face, and that's what I remember. But why this memory stuck with me all these years, and I was trying to think because I can't even remember 2 weeks ago, but I remember that. Why it stuck back was because my mom taught me about God. She taught me about God all the time. She prayed with me as a child before bedtime. When I was scared, she prayed with me. When I was sad, she prayed with me. She took me to church as a child, and she told me that God lived in the clouds. Well, she got most of the things right. And as an adult, we can look back, and I can look back, and I can just thank my mother for the seed that she planted in my heart. When my mom told me there is a God, I just believed her. I didn't question her. There was no doubt in my mind as a little child that God existed. I even believed that God sat on a cloud watching over me because my mom said so. I had the faith of a child. And as we grow older, we can look back and say that, well, that's a cute story, but it's time to move on from those childlike stories, isn't it? But you know what? I believe my mom because I know she believed it. Well, maybe not the God sitting on the cloud part, but that was just her way of trying to explain heaven to a little child. But I believed my mom because I know she believed it. The belief I have in God to this day was because of the seed my mom planted in me as young as I can remember. Now, do you know that Jesus said we are to have the same kind of faith that a child has? If you're having trouble understanding that kind of faith that God is asking from all of us, just tell a child about God and teach a child about God and see what their reaction is. See how they respond. Depending on the child, they may ask you a few questions, but you will find that a child just believes what you say as a parent or guardian or grandparent, older sister, whoever, because they believe because they know that you love them. That's why they believe. And they trust you. So as you're explaining God to them, that trust flows from you, from God to you, to them. Last week we were in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. And this week we're going to be in this same chapter, but we're going actually backwards. We're going to go back a few verses. Now, if you remember from last week, Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem, where they encountered a blind beggar. And Jesus stopped and he took time for this blind man. Even though Jesus had a very, very important appointment to make in Jerusalem. Before Jesus met this blind man, however, at the side of the road, Jesus also had a previous interruption to his schedule. As I mentioned to the children just a bit ago, people were starting to bring their children to Jesus as he was trying to teach the adults something about marriage. And then there was an interruption. People were bringing their children to Jesus. Let's read this account together from Mark chapter 10. We're going to be in verse 13, and we're going to go through verse 16. It says, it should be up on the screen, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on them and blessed them. Now, just as I shared with you all last week, the disciples always seemed to be in some kind of hurry. And they were annoyed by interruptions in their journey with Jesus, especially in this chapter of Mark. Maybe it was because they were beginning to understand and believe what Jesus was saying, that he was going to Jerusalem to die. Just in the previous chapters, Jesus already told them twice the reason why he was going to Jerusalem. You know, it's almost as if the disciples thought that Jesus only belonged to them, that their time with him on this journey was coming to an end, so they couldn't be bothered with interruptions, especially from children, or in the case of last week, a blind beggar at the side of the road. Now, that may be partly the case. It seems that they were annoyed. It seems like, I should say that Jesus was annoyed with the disciples because the disciples were trying to prevent the children from coming to him. Now, that may be partly the case that Jesus was annoyed with the disciples. I mean, it says that. But I think that Jesus was more annoyed because of the disciples' lack of faith, not just because they were preventing the children from coming to him. I think he was more annoyed by their lack of faith. They weren't really truly understanding yet what faith was really about. Faith was staring the disciples right in the face, and it was these little children and their parents or their guardians bringing their children to him. The disciples were so focused on their journey with Jesus, and the children and the parents or guardians of these children, they were just focused on who was there. Jesus. The people wanted their children to be with the Savior. The people probably understood or heard the accounts of Jesus. They probably heard what Jesus had said, that he was the Messiah, he was the Savior. They understood the prophecies. And Jesus was very annoyed, as I said, with the disciples. He said, do not hinder these children from coming to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. Now, Jesus then drops another truth bomb on all of them when he says, truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Now, I don't know if you were all here about a month ago, but I mentioned if Jesus ever says, or if you ever read in the scriptures, when Jesus says, truly, whenever you read that, he is trying to get our attention about something. It is very, very important. I don't know about you, but what Jesus just said here is very humbling to me. If we are honest with ourselves, well, we can read this account and think to ourselves, well, these are just children. What do they know? Am I just supposed to have some kind of blind faith and just come to Jesus, not just for salvation to get to heaven, but for everything in my life, just like a child does? I'm no child. I know some things that a child doesn't know. You know what? I think the disciples knew some things too. I know they understood God's law. They knew their religion. They even witnessed with their eyes the miracles that Jesus did as they were on their journey with him. But they were lacking one big thing: faith. Most of these parents or guardians of these children probably didn't know anywhere near or seen anything near what the disciples saw and knew about Jesus. But what they did know, that Jesus was the Messiah and that he was the Savior. And as I mentioned, word probably got around about Jesus. So they wanted to bring their children to him so he can bless them. It wasn't blind faith that drove these parents or guardians or these adults to bring their children to Jesus. They heard the news and they believed. The children probably didn't know as much about Jesus as their parents did. But these children believed because their parents believed. And here we have the disciples who should have known more about Jesus than anyone there, but they were too busy thinking about either their own time concerns with Jesus or getting somewhere without delay. St. Augustine once said about faith, "Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe." The disciples saw all the miraculous things Jesus had done up to this point. Most of the parents or guardians, as I mentioned, especially the children, probably didn't. Yet they believed because what they heard. I don't think Jesus, though, was mainly speaking to his disciples here at that time. I mean, he was speaking directly to them, but I don't think he was mainly speaking to them. I think that he was speaking to all of us here today. As a matter of fact, I know he was. He was more concerned with us today because we can't see what they were seeing. The children didn't see it all. As I said, they just heard and they believed and their parents believed. That's faith. And true faith that God wants from us. Faith is believing what you do not see and then receiving the reward that comes from that kind of faith. We see this pattern of faith that Jesus desires from us even after he died on the cross and rose again. After Jesus died on the cross, all his disciples were gathered together in a room mourning the loss of their Savior, their Messiah. The women then went down, if you remember the account, the women went down to the tomb to tend to the dead body of Jesus. And then the women discovered his body was gone. Now Mary Magdalene was there, and she walked out of the tomb crying, saying, "They took my Savior, my Messiah, they took his body away." And then Jesus appeared to her and said, "Don't weep." And then he comforted her. Mary then, you can imagine, was very excited. She ran up to the other disciples to tell that Jesus was alive. And then Jesus appeared to the disciples. But one disciple was not there to see Jesus at first. Now, this disciple's name was Thomas. Thomas was not there to see Jesus rise. And so the other disciples were trying to explain, "He's alive, he's alive," but Thomas doubted. And in John chapter 20, verse 25, it says, this is what Thomas said to the other disciples. Thomas said, "Unless I see the marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, but this time, Thomas was there. And who did Jesus speak to first, the second time he showed himself? Thomas. And Jesus said in verse 27 to Thomas, he said, "Thomas, put your fingers here. You see my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas then said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Believing without seeing is the faith of a child. That's why Jesus blessed those children. That's why he blessed those children that day. They believed. And here, after the resurrection, and then even today, Jesus wants to bless all of us because we believe without seeing. Jesus wants to do that for you. He wants to give you the reward from that kind of faith. But you have to have the faith of a child. We oftentimes want Jesus to show himself to us before we believe. If I see him or if I see his work being done, then I will believe. But you know what? That's not how God works. I can't explain why God does it this way. I just know that that's how he works, through faith. When we have the faith, then he shows his power in our lives. God requires us to believe. Now, it's not some kind of unfounded belief or some fairy tale like believing in fairy or unicorns or fairies or anything like that. That's not the kind of belief God is asking us. He's asking us to have faith on what we know is certain and not doubting. Then God will show him his kingdom in your life. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Hebrews 11, 1. I mentioned how my mother taught me about God as a child and how I believed her because I trusted what my mom said. Our Father in heaven wants us to believe in him even more so. Now, my mother wasn't perfect. As I said, she said that God lived in the clouds. Now, that was just her way of explaining heaven to me, I guess. But I still believed her. But God is accurate in everything he says to us and he teaches us through his word. We can trust him in his word. Not only for our own security in heaven through Jesus, but for here and now today as we live our lives. Faith is being certain what God says is true. That's why we need to read his word. As we read his word and his promises in his word, he will tell us what is true, and then we believe. And then you will truly see God. Jesus says truly, truly, truly back then. Truly you will see God when you believe. Now I want to leave you just with 3 points today concerning having childlike faith. The first point is for parents, guardians of children. You have a very, very important role to play in your child's life. Taking care of your child is more than just giving them food, a roof over their head, taking them to school, giving them an education. Those are all very important. But your most important role is to teach them about having faith in Jesus. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to do that either. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You can start by telling them that there is a God who loves them and that they can trust him with every fear they have, every pain that comes their way through this world. You can then expand on this by learning more about God yourself so you can continue on teaching your children more about him. Taking your child to church each Sunday, having them participate in children's church programs, having them serve Christ's church, are other important ways of raising up your child in the way they should go. You know, you can't completely control everything that a child sees in this world and experiences in this world. There is sin. There is temptations. There are many bad things that kids are going to encounter in this world. You can't shelter them completely from it. But what you can do is plant the seed of faith in God who loves them. And so when they grow older, they will not depart from it. And they will know, if they do depart, they will know where to come back to find it. I departed from my faith as a teenager. And I was able to come back in my mid-20s, I was able to come back to my faith because of the seed my mom planted in me. Second point is for those adults that do not know the Lord or have not known the Lord. Let me say this. Our Father in heaven loves you more than anyone can on this planet. If you want to see God, then believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. Now, you may say to yourself, "Well, Mike, I don't see him now. How do I know what you say is true?" And I will say this, the Holy Spirit is calling you to believe. You don't have to trust me, but trust him as he's calling your heart. And then when you seek to know God more, he will show you more about himself and bless you because you have sought him. And the last point is for all believers. We all have a story to tell on how we first received the gift of salvation. Each of our stories are unique on how we learned about God, yet each of us received the gift of salvation in the same way. We just believed. And we know it to be true. We know this because we have faith, and the Holy Spirit shows us and teaches us that it is true. To an unbeliever, we can't fully explain this, but we just know because we have experienced the gift of salvation. However, we still live in a world that we have that we can see and we can touch. We experience life's ups and life's downs, just like any other unbeliever does. We can get discouraged like an unbeliever can get discouraged. We can be fearful like an unbeliever can be fearful. We can have hurts and we can have pains that come into our life. But as a believer, you have the seed planted in you and the seed of faith and the Holy Spirit in you. If you are experiencing anything, any pains from this fallen world that brings to your door, hold on to the promises of God. Read His Word, listen to His Word, and believe it. And then God will show you. And your faith, by the way, will increase because of it. That's how our faith gets increased. As we first believe, we believe His Word, and then we can continue on and our faith increases. Childlike faith is the key. We believe God because He is God. He wants the best for all of us. So we trust Him like a child trusts Him, or a child trusts even their parents. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You have made it so easy for us. You've made it so easy for us just to say we believe You. When we read Your Word, all You ask of us is to believe. And then Your Holy Spirit makes a wonderful work in each of our lives. If only the world, and as Pastor Doug prayed earlier, we prayed for our country, we pray for the world, we pray for everybody that is experiencing the hardships that come through this world. If this world, if this community, this country, if we would just believe what You say, we know, Father, that You would do a miraculous work in not only our lives, but in the lives of our community and the lives of our nation and our leaders. Lord, so I pray that You will continue to teach us to have faith like a child, to remind us to always believe what You say is true. Holy Spirit, we ask for You to give us that reminder to continue to read Your Word so we can know what is true. And so what we do see in this world, so many of the falsehoods that are spoken to us each day, that we can, even though we see that with our eyes, we know it's a lie, that Your Word is the truth. And then, Lord, we know that You will do a work in us that will be so miraculous that others will begin to see. And I pray that for this church, Lord. I pray that as we go about our weeks into our communities, even in the life of this church body, Lord, that Your Spirit will continue to move in our lives to teach us more and more about You so we can know what is true. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.